Thanks for coming in, Mr. Mahoney. Do you have your member ID card?
Yep, I have it right here in the FEP Blue app, see?
Great.
It's awesome. The app can also help me find a provider and keep tabs on my deductibles.
Okay, can I...
Oh, yeah, and my out-of-pocket spending and visit limits, and I can call the nurse line.
I'm really glad it does all that, but I only need to see your member ID card.
Oh, that's it? Why didn't you say so?
Fearless is just one tap away. With the new FEP Blue app from Blue Cross and Blue Shield, you can access your health benefits on the go. Download it now at fepblue.org/app.
You are flying high with Locked On Eagles, presented by LockedOnEagles.com. We are your daily source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis. I am your host, Michael Kist. You can follow my work at Inside the Pylon, Breaking Football, and Grandstand Sports Network. Follow me on Twitter at Michael J. Kist. That's K-I-S-T. As always, I am joined by the best co-host in the game, Mr. 7-year streak without a bad day. He is Benjamin Solak of Bleeding Green Nation and NDT Scouting. Follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. Ben, I assume the streak is intact, but I want to know anyway because I care. How you doing, brother?
Oh, every day's a dream, man. You know life's good. I love crossover days. It's always fun to get this sort of stuff done, man.
Yes, we are going to have a lot of fun today. We've got a special guest from Locked On Panthers. Bill Reset is on with us today to help us preview Eagles versus Panthers Thursday night matchup. Bill, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, guys. It's fun to be on with you guys. And being that the Eagles were my team growing up, this was definitely the week I was looking forward to all season. So I'm excited to get this going.
Very nice. Very nice. Look, I got to tell you, too, Ben, I'm sorry about this, but Ben has been murdering your name all week. He called you Bill Reset, Bill Reset without the extra E's at the end. Ben, why are you showing disrespect to our boy, Bill? He's a friend of the Locked On Network.
The name's got like 12 E's in it, man. I don't know what you want from me. It's a Reset. He sounds awesome. It's a great last name. I just off the cuff. I didn't have it, man. I apologize.
All right. Bill, let everyone know where else they can find your work other than Locked On Panthers.
Yeah, so I write for Panthers Wire and Falcons Wire over at the USA Today blog sites. And with college basketball starting soon, I'll be kicking into that mode soon as well. You know, I do a little Joe Lunardi type stuff for those that are familiar with his work. So, you know, I'd like to project the bracket. So busy times coming up pretty soon. I am disappointed, though, for those that follow college hoops. I'm disappointed that they stopped the 24-hour marathon. So at least it'll mean I'll probably get to see more games. I won't have to worry about staying up at like 2 a.m. to watch Hawaii versus San Diego State or something. Right. But yeah.
Awesome, man. Look, we are going to get right into it. Panthers, Eagles, big time matchup. Both teams playing really, really well. One stat that I noticed right out the gate was the third down conversion rates for both teams are through the freaking roof. Philadelphia is first in the league at 53.42%. Carolina is an easy second at 50%. And Carolina has done a better job than the Eagles getting themselves into more advantageous third down looks. What would you say is the magic sauce of that 50% third down conversion rate for the Panthers?
You know, just the way Cam Newton's been playing has been effective, and the Christian McCaffrey, I think, is definitely a key reason for that as well. You know, the way they've been getting involved in kind of the short yardage game, screens, all that stuff has really been effective. And even Ed Dixon last week, I think, was one of the key reasons why they were able to move the chains so well. So it's really a collection of players there. That whole offense has really seemed to really step up in key situations to really help that offense move, because you've really seen the offense kind of wake up in the last couple weeks, which has been really nice to see.
Yeah, they are definitely hitting a groove. Ben, what do you have for our man, Bill?
Yeah, I'm curious about how this offense is distributed, actually, Bill, because it's very interesting to see a 4-1 team where you've got, you know, you're averaging only 3.4 yards per carry across the team. Your leading rusher there is Jonathan Stewart. He's got 251 yards on the year, which is only 50 yards per game. And then your leading receiver, who's Kelvin Benjamin, excuse me, only averaging 54 yards per game. So it doesn't look on paper to be a very potent offense, but you've got a lot of distribution with McCaffrey running the football and catching the football, your first round rookie, like you said, Ed Dixon. Well, Devin Funchess seems to be having a pretty good year as well. Is this an offense? Is it predicated on spreading the ball around, or has it just been a game by game situation where, you know, one week Benjamin's focus, the next week the focus is on Dixon? How are the touches being distributed here?
I think it's definitely been spread out just consistently throughout the season. You know, it just so happened that Ed Dixon just ran good routes, I thought, last week. And it's funny you mentioned Dixon. He was actually who I focused on when I did a little film study for Panthers Wire. So I noticed just the excellent routes he ran. So he just kind of happened to be one of the focal points. He only had the five catches, but obviously a lot of them went for big yards. Yeah, for the most part, it really is just kind of a spread it out. And, you know, Newton does a nice job at kind of scanning the field. He's done better that in the last couple of weeks and just seeing what's there and just trusting all his receivers to go out and make plays.
On the flip side of the third down question that I had for you, what do you think is going to be the key of slowing down the Eagles on third down, where they're converting 53% and also converting like a ridiculous, I believe it's 43 or 42% on third down and 11 plus once has been lights out? What do you do to slow that down?
Well, with Lane Johnson potentially being out on Thursday, I think that could potentially play into the favor of the Panthers pass rush. I think guys like Julius Peppers, Mario Addison, even the interior guys like Lotulelei and those guys, they've got to get the pass rush home. You know, the pass rush has been kind of up and down. They have a few sacks, but this is really one of those opportunities where, you know, the Eagles are depleted. Johnson's obviously arguably the second best lineman of that group. So this is a key spot where the Panthers have to get that pass rush home, or Wentz is going to be able to hit Torrey Smith, hit Nelson Agholor or Alshon Jeffery, because these defenders can be beat. And, you know, James Bradbury missed practice today. So
I saw a stat about Bradbury. I think I put it on Twitter. Bradbury had followed 63% of the snaps, like the number one wide receiver, if I'm not mistaken, Ben,
From Marvin Jones. Yeah. Followed Marvin Jones against Detroit.
So yeah. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about Bradbury if he does play? Cause I know he was just a late add to the, did not practice list. How do you feel about Bradbury against Alshon Jeffery, for example?
Yeah, I mean, Bradbury is their best cornerback, but he's also a guy that's shown in the past that he can get beat deep. I keep going back to the Ted Ginn. I think it was against Bradbury. It was either Bradbury or Worley, but I know they got beat deep on a Ted Ginn touchdown against the Saints. So this is a secondary that they have their moments, but they can definitely get beat deep. So if the Eagles want to draw up some deep routes, I think they could be very effective in that aspect.
Yeah, and I think that you've got, as far as the Carolina Panthers go, a lot of questions to answer in that secondary as far as who's going to handle who. You, as we mentioned, you've got James Bradbury there on the injury report, and then also Daryl Worley as well, who's a corner that plays opposite Bradbury at times, on the injury report as well. You've got Kurt Coleman, the safety who the Eagle fans should know. He used to play for Philadelphia, then he moved over with Sean McDermott to Carolina. He looks like he's not going to be able to go. You've got a slew of guys here who may be limited, may not be able to play, and you've given up some passing yards over the season. And then my last question is a guy that you kind of didn't really identify, which is Zach Ertz. As far as how Carolina's addressed tight ends on defense so far, Zach Ertz has been the best tight end in the league from a statistical perspective, receiving the football. How do you expect to slow him down?
It's going to be tough because, like you said, Ertz really, you could definitely argue he's been the best receiver through 5 weeks for the Eagles. So someone like Shaq Thompson is probably going to have to, or Thomas Davis, someone's going to have to bang him at the line of scrimmage and just try to slow him down, maybe get a couple guys on him in zone. It's going to be tough. It's going to be very difficult. And like you said, Kirk Coleman's probably going to be out. Colin Jones got the start last week against Detroit, and he's all right, but he's obviously no Kirk Coleman, but you do still have the veteran Mike Adams over there as well. But yeah, I think the middle of the field is definitely a spot too where the Panthers can take, or excuse me, where the Eagles can take advantage of this this defense.
Yeah, and the Panthers have been somewhat soft in the middle of the field, in the intermediate area. I think that's an area where Zach Ertz can eat. And also with Torrey Smith maybe running some clear outs and Alshon getting under and eating in that area as well would be nice. We're a bit up in the air about Alshon right now because of his mediocre production based on what we're paying him to do.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.
On the other side, let's go back to the offense for the Panthers, because I want to talk about some of their schematic stuff that they do. And I wrote about this for LockedOnEagles.com, the shovel triple option play that you guys ran with Christian McCaffrey that gave you guys a touchdown, where he ran the inside shovel. You had Stewart running the as the pitch man, Cam as the keeper. You've got a lot of different ways that they can beat you. And even before that, they run jet sweep motion with Curtis Samuel. The Panthers do a lot of things to confuse offenses and can do a lot of different things from the same look. How do you feel offensively, schematically, they're going to attack the Eagles? Do you think they maybe even go more exotic with things? Because one of the things that I pointed out in my piece about the shovel triple option was you can add a passing element to that with like a spot concept or something like that. So do you think they pull out some new tricks, or maybe they don't because of the short week and they stick with a more basic game plan?
Yeah, probably. There might not be much time to really install it unless they just hope that the Panthers or the players just kind of remember what they've done in the past. Because I know they've run some wildcat as well, too. You've had guys like Samuel and McCaffrey back there in the shotgun or in the backfield without Newton. So, you know, maybe they pull that out, or like you said, Samuel on a jet sweep. So they might try something exotic, but with how stout the Eagles' defense has been, they might want to try to keep it conservative, especially knowing that Fletcher Cox could potentially be out. So they might hope that the middle of the field or the interior there will be vulnerable enough that they can just attack Stewart and McCaffrey up the middle.
Timmy Jernigan says, bring it on. Okay, before we get to scores and predictions.
Yes, he does. Hey, I love Jernigan, though, too. He's been a fantastic pickup.
Yeah, he's been awesome. Ben, practice injury news. You want to hit us with some stuff before we get to the scores and predictions?
Absolutely. So, right, a good point with Fletcher Cox potentially being out. Cox obviously has missed the last 2 weeks. Now, he was limited on Monday, but was listed as a full participant yesterday on Tuesday. And so the outlook for Cox coming back this week is better than it was. He did tell reporters that he's unsure. It's not really set there in stone. As far as who else you expect, you've got limited participation from Bo Allen, Destiny Veo, and Chris Long, but none of those seem to be anybody who we should worry about being out. Lane Johnson, still in that concussion protocol, very unlikely that he's good to go on Thursday. And also Wendell Smallwood with a knee is out again, and on a short week, he might miss the second week. Of course, I wrote on Locked On Eagles that rushing offense didn't miss a beat with Smallwood gone, which speaks to kind of, you know, Smollett's questionable worth here for Philadelphia. But Corey Graham, Jalen Watkins, Rodney McLeod, Jordan Hicks, guys we've all seen on the injury report before, totally full participation, ready to go. And last but not least, Ronald Darby walking through the NovaCare complex was seen without a brace, without a limp, without a boot, without nothing. My man was just walking on 2 feet. Yep, sounds pretty nice, doesn't it? So it looks like the Eagles are getting healthier. It's that defense is all shored up now, except for those corners. The defense is back to where it was.
The best of it. Go ahead, Bill.
I'm sorry. No, I just want to say it shouldn't be too much longer too before Sidney Jones comes back.
Yes, sir.
Once you get him back and pair him with Darby, and assuming they're both healthy, then boy, your weakness just in a blink of an eye just became one of your biggest strengths.
Yeah.
Right. That's one of the reasons why this is such a big game for Philadelphia, in my opinion, is because this is really looks to be the last big challenge they'll have without at least one of Darby and Jones back. And so they, you know, we talked a few weeks ago about sneaking through this section. Once the Darby injury came, we said, all right, we got to try to get through these brambles. All of a sudden, you're 4-1, looking competitive against Carolina. You know, if they can escape this thing with a W, and then you get your strength back at corner, that's pretty.
And Baldinger tweeted out that he said that Sidney Jones is going to be back very, very soon. So hopefully he's got some inside knowledge on that. Okay, let's get to scores and predictions on the game. Bill, since you are our special, special guest, we are going to give you first crack. What's the score? Who wins?
I'm going to say, and I feel like I'm the kiss of death, because I was actually on ESPN Grand Rapids the other day to talk about the Lions game, and I actually picked the Lions, and they said I was the first of their guests to pick the Lions, and of course they lose. That being said, I'm going to go ahead and pick the Eagles. I just think the way they're playing, I mean, obviously both teams are playing well, but I just think the Eagles offense can definitely move the ball. Again, especially against the secondary. I think they can move the ball through the air. I'm going to go ahead and say Eagles 27, Panthers 24. I think it's going to be close, but I'm going to give Wentz, we'll say Wentz pulls it out late in the game and the defense holds them to go to 5-1.
Ben, it's on you, brother.
Yeah, I like it. We've got to go back and see what the math is on us with what our guests predict and how the Eagles do relatively, because we don't have the analytics there.
All I know is his last game, you predicted 34-14 Eagles over Cardinals, and you were inches away from them scoring a touchdown to make it that exact score. So
inches.
Make this one count, Ben, because you are due. You're so close, man.
Yeah, so I like what Bill gave us for sure. Right now on mybookie.ag, we've got the over-under at 46 for this game, so I've got money down the over already. I think it's a pretty easy over as far as what to see. You've got two offenses who are playing at the top at top NFL levels right now. I think that this banged up secondary from Carolina coming off of a really good week for Wentz. I think Wentz is more confident than he's ever been. I think he's in more control than he's ever been. And I think that this Eagles team is a young team that recognizes this Thursday night is an opportunity to really prove themselves and validate the work they've done here on a national NFL stage. So give me Philadelphia. I think they're going to win. I think Carolina will push it tight. Obviously, they're a veteran team. They've got good players, so they'll hang for four quarters. Give me the Eagles 31-24.
31-24. Wow, I'm really going to have to be the lone wolf on this one.
Oh, don't do it, Michael.
Oh, I remember last week when I told you coming into the Cardinals game that I wasn't really stressing it at all whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I feel like on this short week, man, I'm concerned. So I'm gonna go against the Eagles here, and hopefully that I reverse
Shame.
That I jinx it. You know what I mean? This is what I'm doing here, Ben. I'm not saying that I believe.
Have
it in
we
my
ever
heart.
Disagreed? Have we ever disagreed before?
Yes.
I don't think so.
We disagree every show, Ben. But on a score,
I meant
no.
On the score, the winner. Unbelievable.
Okay, so I'll go 27-24 Panthers, and I hope that I'm wrong. Ben, take it easy on me. I know you're going to throw this back in my freaking face.
Yes, sir.
Bill, let the people know one more time where they can find all of your stuff.
Panthers Wire, Falcons Wire, do a lot of stuff over with those two sites. Obviously, Locked On Panthers. We're still waiting for LockedOnPanthers.com to go up. It should be coming soon, though. And like I said, college basketball. I have my blog, Bracketology Corral. Stay tuned. Going to try to get a preseason bracket. Can't promise anything, but hopefully we'll get one out there soon. Go Tar Heels, unless they get banned from the tournament.
Bill, I have one more question for you.
Yeah.
You just put your video on. We're talking on Skype. You have got an insane amount of magnets on your freezer door that is holding nothing up.
Yeah.
What are those for?
And the thing, I used to have all bridge door covered too. We kind of like, I guess we'll say condensed it a little bit.
Is that here. Like team logos? Like what is that?
There's actually a couple team logos. Like I have the Phillies. We had like an old Saints logo, Lions. But most of it is just random stuff. Obviously, a couple pictures of me as a little baby.
Dude, your fridge has like 37 pieces of Flair. It definitely exceeds the requirement.
And oh, by the way, there's also the alcohol sitting on top of it too.
Oh, beautiful! Yeah,
just so we get that out of the way too. Mentioned like the Coleco Jack and all that good stuff. So yeah, throw that in there as well.
Very nice, very nice. All right, Bill, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you guys.
I can't wait to talk with you again, Ben. Real quick, what do we have for tomorrow for the gentle listeners? Let them know.
What's up, gentle listeners? Right, tomorrow is just Mike and I getting you fully ready on game day. Never had a game day pod yet before. So game day pod on Thursday, getting y'all folks ready for Eagles-Panthers, checking out those final injury reports because we got so many people up in the air, seeing if anything new develops, and just getting excited for the Eagles playing in primetime.
And to hear all that, you got to keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.